back, y'all.
Son of a bitch.
I butt my knee. Welcome back. I did not mean to, but this corner is just
so funny.
Right in the, I don't even know the knee bone, but right there.
Right on the knee bone. If the knee had a funny bone, it wouldn't have been funny.
Look, so, but you know who it back, is.
Y'all. Afro Movie Review, the podcast.
Yes,
air horns. Pow, pow, pow. Okay, so yes, this is us. The voice you're hearing is Mo, she, her pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, the Chocolate Chip Podcaster.
And I am Keeks, they, them pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, your favorite trans podcaster. Welcome back to the show, you guys.
We is them. Welcome back, y'all. We are back recording on a new platform. Shout out to this bitch. We can see each other. We are not having to pay a whole bunch of money. We have a new distribution. We have access to shit. Oh my God. Black folks in tech.
I'm excited.
I'm very excited. This is, this is season 6, episode 77. And the movie of the episode is Dix, the musical.
The musical. Oh my gosh. So you know how we start this off. The history reel. Yeah, I don't this year because the year is 2023. That feels too new, too fresh.
I actually went through, I put some effort into the history. Do you want to do a rock, paper, scissors on camera or?
You know, we can do a rock, paper, scissors on camera.
With it.
You call it.
Okay. Rock, shoot. Nigga beat me.
I meant to do paper. I forgot that we always do scissors. My mind is not here. Okay.
And so. I'm a creature of habit, so you knew I was gonna throw scissors.
I knew you were gonna throw scissors.
And my mind literally was like, throw paper. What came out?
I literally was like, what beat scissors? Not that, but it came out.
All right, so, y'all. Let's get started for 2023.
I would say two lights and a heavy. And I'm going to end on heavy. So let's do.
It's a sporadic bunch. I will match your fly.
Okay. We're going to do August 16th. Bootis, the Iceman, the 5,300 euro mummy, is discovered to have had dark skin and dark eyes and was descended from early Anatolian farmers and results from an updated DNA study.
Oh, I love it.
So I got this from Wikipedia and science.com. And I feel like we discussed him before because I remember we talked about his cause of death, which was like an arrowhead and his tattoos. He had like 61 tattoos.
Yes, we did.
So they have intensely analyzed this man. Like they know he had a parasite in his stomach. They know he ate a meal 3 hours before he died. They know the little markers on his finger was like he was sick however many times before he died. I was like, damn. So I included this fact because I appreciate the confirmation. Like it's an inner knowing that people of culture have, but also I like to see the representation because even with the 3D modeling that they had of him, he was pale with straight hair. Yeah. And like, we know that, you know, dark skinned people were in the past because, you know, I'm here, you're here. Other dark-skinned people, no matter the nationality or ethnicity, didn't come out of thin air. So it's appreciated. It's appreciative. And it's modern-day Turkey is where he came out from. So it's in Western Asia. So I thought that was cool, but very fascinating. They were able to figure out he had curly hair. He had male pattern baldness. It was...
And they love to call Turkey the place where East meets West. So for him to be dark skinned and to be 5,200 some odd years old when he lived and to be a person of darker complexion in your face.
Look, because we be knowing. It's just
when
humans eventually get replaced by whatever species is next, hopefully in a more intelligent, more nature preserving species. Not that I'm, you know, promoting eco-fascism because we humans are needed in order to help the biodiversity here. It's just that we have a few greedy motherfuckers that is just like, I want money more than I want to save this planet. They are going to see like white people, white classics, white. You would swear ain't nothing but white people on this planet.
Yeah, the rewriting erasure of history.
I like that. I like that. It's bittersweet, low key, because I'm like, y'all always experimenting on black folks, but.
Okay, well, then my first fact, I'm going to go lighter. February 19th, 2023 is the 65th Daytona 500. You would think that this is about to be white as hell, right? Ricky Stenhouse Jr. wins for JTG Darty Racing in double overtime under caution over a record of 212 laps. Now, the reason this is interesting is because the former NBA player Brad Daugherty is the first black car owner to win the race.
What?
Now, that's so cool. I do not know my guy as a basketball player. He wasn't familiar to me, but that is cool as shit. Now, this is the team's second win. Their first win came in 2014 at the Watkins Glen International with AJ Allmendinger driving the number 47 Chevrolet. But as far as Brad Daugherty himself, he is called the Big Train. That man is 7 feet tall.
Damn.
Damn.
How old is he?
Yao Ming is 7 feet tall.
I don't know why my mind is like, oh, people that unusually tall. Because I think people that unusually tall typically have health issues.
Sometimes, not always. And if you are lucky enough not to, then, and maybe they have health issues with age. I'm not sure. Because I definitely know of a person whose entire family is very, very tall, and they all have had different health issues. Sometimes with age, sometimes with in youth, you know. But Brad Daugherty is currently 58 years old. He is, like I said, known as the Big Train, 7 feet tall. He played basketball for the North Carolina Tar Heels. That's my favorite college to watch basketball-wise. But he entered as a 16-year-old freshman. He was a two-time All-ACC first-team selection and a first-team All-American in 1986. He went on to play for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And outside of basketball, he has business interests that include car dealerships, waste management, and commercial real estate. This is your sign to diversify your portfolio. My man's is getting money, okay? And not in the way of, like, we're money hungry or, like, whatever. Because, again, Keith, you just went off about that. But it's about being a commodity for yourself and having multiple things that you can touch into so that you can get paid while you were laying in the shade. He co-owned the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series Team Liberty Racing, and then he joined ESPN's Return to NASCAR telecast in 2007. I didn't know that ESPN stopped showing it. I didn't know. This is very interesting, and I love doing this podcast because I learned so much about this guy. In general, I learned so much doing the history reel. But he became a part of the Cavaliers broadcast team. And so now he does that and he owns his NASCAR team. The man is working, still alive. He's 58.
He got children. I don't know. When I think about people expanding their portfolio, I think of Shaq and he's like, I made this move. And I'm like, damn, nigga.
He also makes sure have kids. He makes sure that his kids are good. I'm not sure. It says his parents. It says his partner. I'm not sure.
I feel that. You don't even know everything about me.
That's right. Because if I do, you just going to be trying to hit up my kids for money.
Right.
Respect.
My second one is light. January 7, a vaccine for bees against American fall brood bacteria is approved in the U.S. The first vaccine in the U.S. for any insect. Fucking love bees.
The black beekeeper that I know brought some of his bees in. I'm gonna have to show you the picture. He also brought in some honey from his bees that he's been collecting over the last 10 years so that you can see the difference in the color. My god, fucking love that guy. What?
Oh my god, do you know what kind of flowers that his bees get the honey from?
He lets them go wherever they want to and they just come back. So he, you know, they stay. I don't know how far the bee radius is, but around him. So these are bees that, not necessarily the same bees, but like from the collection that they would go to, you know,
around them
area.
For the difference.
Oh, my goodness. I'm gonna have to show you that picture. It's magnificent. Mm-hmm. Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I love it. So American foul brood bacteria is a highly infectious disease that is globally distributed. Oh, I got this from Wikipedia and the Smithsonian Magazine.
All right, go ahead.
And see, I thought about that when I was recording. I was like, you can't do that. That's somebody else.
That's not that shit.
I'm glad we are here.
Here, I love that. Here.
But the only recourse for prevention of spreading is to burn the infected colonies. Yes. I said, what the fuck? So what happens is it mainly infects the brood, which is the eggs, larvae, and pupae of bees, but it can wipe out a whole colony. And so what the vaccine does, it works like, you know, human vaccines. They get a part of the dead bacteria and they put it in the vaccine, and then the beekeepers mix it with the food. The worker bees will eat it, create royal jelly, and then the queen will eat it, thereby eating the vaccine with it and having an immunity for all of her babies.
Yeah.
It was developed by Dalen Animal Health, a biotech company who partnered with University of Georgia's Keith, I don't think his name was Delaplane, an entomologist. And it was under a conditional license from the USDA for limited amounts to be distributed to commercial beekeepers with the hopes that they can sell it all throughout the US. And it is not genetically modified, so you can work with organic farming as well.
Yo, how awesome is that?
So, and that was 2023. I'm hoping we do a 2024 movie. That way, maybe I can update that, but
we'll see.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. So, my heart could save the bees. I love bees.
Yes. Anytime I want it, we have to talk about them.
Heck yeah. So y'all, I am going to be muting and unmuting my mic because I am coming out of a sinus infection and the little tickle is sometimes beating my ass. So yeah, just heads up. I'm over here coughing a little bit. Okay. So save the bees, plant flowers, save the bees. Okay. Local flowers. Yeah.
Like, don't be introducing invasions. We already got enough invasive species here. The invasives and species.
I'm about to see if I can borrow somebody's goddamn goat because the kudzu in my backyard, my nigga.
God, I fucking hate kudzu.
Fuck,
man. I'd be cursing their ass out too. Like, why the fuck you here?
Because literally, Americans were like, they were in Japan during the war and they said, oh, this is so pretty. And they brought some over in a little vase or some shit and was like, I'm about to give this to somebody. And then they was like, ooh, and they was probably selling it at the commissary. And they was just like, give it to your girl. And then all of a sudden, on the East Coast and in the South, kudzu.
I hate it.
It looks all right, but it's also an invasive thing and it's taking over the trees and it's fucking shit up.
It's killing them. Fuckers. But
goat, what's it called? Goat grooming? Something like that. It's like goat something where you use the goats to eat the landscape. Goatscaping. That's what it's called.
That's hilarious. I love that so much.
Okay, so I'm ready for my dark. Are you ready?
Okay.
February 23rd, 2023, former Hollywood executive Harvey Weinstein is sentenced to 16 years in prison for rape in Los Angeles, on top of the 23 years he is already serving for his sex crimes. As of recent,
my thing is like, they was like, oh, it's too many women accusing you of rape. Maybe he's with
So me. That's not what happened. So what they said is that the prosecuting attorneys allowed women who were not a part of the allegations to testify during the trial, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you only present, and this is my knowledge of law, if you only present testimony that's relevant to the case that you are trying and they find guilty, when you are sentencing, at that point, you can have any witness that you motherfucking want come and give witness testimony and then affect sentencing, right? But because they brought it in during the case, during the actual trial, that's where the fuck up was. And unfortunately, his lawyers And a caught double the Jeopardy? Fuck out of that. Well, Double Jeopardy only works with Moira.
Really?
Double Jeopardy is Moira. So I think he can be tried again if the state decides they want to, which they probably will.
I'm about to say, either way, he's right in prison right now. So,
and I don't know if it was both cases.
One of y'all can, I can put some money on your commissary.
And like I said, I don't know if it was both cases that were overturned, because he had two. He has the 16-year one and then the 23-year one. But they said that this was an abuse of judicial discretion because Judge James Burke allowed for the testimony of these other women who were not included in that case. You know what I'm saying?
That it was going to get thrown out.
As a lawyer, so whose side was he really on?
And that's my thing, though, because we do have a corrupt justice.
We do. We do.
System. So, I mean, he could have very well been paid off.
He could have. And they said, they called this, quote, loathsome alleged bad acts and despicable behavior. And not about what Weinstein did, about having the women who were not a part of the lawsuit coming to testify. This is crazy. But this shows you how... there's loopholes for everything, and when you have enough money to catch them, you can.
Look.
So, fuck that man.
To hell and back.
Yeah. Mm. All right. I'm ending light, though.
Okay. Because mine is it's low-key heavy. Okay. July 24th, Israel's parliament passes a controversial reasonableness bill. Takes away the ability of the Supreme Court to declare government decisions unreasonable. Did the first bill in the plan to weaken judiciary amid large, widespread protests. I got this from the Times of Israel.
Mm.
So the illegally occupied state of Palestine that calls itself Israel has a judicial tool that allows the court to strike down government and administrative decisions, seen as having not taken into account all the relevant considerations of a particular topic or not given the correct weight to those considerations, even if they do not violate any particular law or contradict other administrative rulings. So there's been arguments about this, that it gives too broad a scope to the judicial branch to intervene in elected officials' decisions. But the rebuttal says that the restrictions of the use of reasonableness is to protect the rights not specifically mentioned in what they call Israeli law. So it would prohibit the courts from using the reasonableness doctrine to review decisions made by the cabinet, government ministers and other elected officials. So I like the idea that there is a governing body,
and they said, nigga, you can't try us anymore.
I really like that idea. Like, that's something I feel like they're a parliamentary democracy, but I feel like that's something that in the parliament is the one that passed the thing. So like, but I feel like that's something that we as a country in America should have. But also, it gives the perspective that there are so-called Israelis that are upset at their government for what they are doing to the Palestinian people. And it also gives me perspective, because despite the many, many awful videos I've seen of them mocking the people of Palestine for their genocide, there are people, just like there was abolitionists during slavery, actually care. So I can't exactly condemn all of Israel for what
they
are doing.
They said, you will not do that shit no more. I'm checking you.
So
in-house. And I appreciate the fuck out of that.
And I appreciate that, because there are Jews against Israel because they're trying to equate Israel to anti-Semitism.
Yes, and it's really, what I've seen more is Jews against genocide.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen that. And because they stand with probably, I don't know what their beliefs are. You know what? Take it back. Not gonna go there. Nah. I've only read and seen and been on the outside receiving information. So I'm not gonna speak on anybody's feelings or assume them. But what I will say is that I have seen Jews against genocide, and I have also been at a political it was supposed to be a peaceful pep rally that became a political something because the Zionists that were there turned up. These were Jews against genocide, and the Zionists came and they were ugly. It was,
reminds me of cops infiltrating protests, because that's exactly what they do. They pay people to go and pretend like they're protesters, and then they cause havoc, and then it's like painted as, oh, this is so disruptive, chaotic. Question, was your protest masked? Like, masked up?
The people, I was. What you mean? As much as I could be, I was.
Yes, the people, though.
No.
Everybody.
There were some people in the crowd definitely masked up, but this was, it was intended to be a peaceful, it wasn't even a protest. It was a visual. They took a spot in one area, and because they told people they would be in that area, Zionists came and surrounded the area. So literally, it was locked in. Craziness.
But not a protest. I just want to, because we are seeing what is in real time, what's happening in all of these Ivy League states with all of these student demonstrations.
Let's go, very colleges.
Much commending what they're doing. But please, please mask the fuck up, because they're using that force. They pushed this no mask narrative because they wanted more surveillance.
They said,
"We
can't see your faces anymore. What
like,
the fuck's up?
Please mask the fuck up. Leave your
phone. Keep your phone at home.
Like, turn it off if you have to bring it. But I would prefer you leave that shit at home.
Nobody believes in flip phones anymore.
Right. Cover any identifying information. And I like what they're doing in, is it Colombia, where the rich white kids are getting arrested and they can afford the bond.
I love.
So, yeah, just be careful, because this is going to get worse before it gets better. But honestly, I feel like they banned TikTok because of the pro-Palestine sentiment.
They literally said it.
So, oh my God. They're mad they can't control the narrative, and I don't appreciate when people in power get mad, because they tend to be destructive, and I do not want any casualties.
Yeah. That's it. Okay, well, I'm going to do my last fact. August 5th, waterfront brawl in Montgomery, Alabama.
You know, I still haven't seen that video.
You don't know what you're missing out.
No, because I think right after that, it was that girl getting hit by the brick. And I was like, man, I don't want to fucking see this, because y'all sat there and rallied around this black man, but then y'all sitting here condemning this black girl. So,
okay. Yeah. I feel that. Well, yeah. Where were you on August 6th? That's my only.
Look.
No, not you. Our listeners, people. That's my only detail. I'm not going into it. Look into it. Yeah. Where were you on August 6th? I was in my skin. I was at home. I was chilling. I think it was a Sunday. Or I'm sorry, August 5th. But August 6th, where were you? Because when did you find out? I found out in the morning time. I was like doing my morning routine. I got to work and I went over the timeline and I was like, what the fuck is happening?
That's all they can talk about. And yeah. I didn't see the, I know what happened. I just have not seen the video. So
it was that chair swing. There are so many angles. That video is the compilation got to be top three.
Oh my God.
That was an extended history reel.
Yes.
Well, then let's get into it.
It's the plug.
The lenses for the season, because this is our A24 season. And it is actually the last movie of the season. We finally made it. Insert air horns. Yes. Because, wow.
It's been a while. It's just been so much.
Changing platforms. So we did a lot. Yeah. But congratulations to us for making it to the last movie of the season. For the last time. What do your lenses look like? Last time for the season and these lenses.
My lenses for the last time for this season is one blue triangle with a yellow nose bridge, one red triangle with the freedom fist hanging off the legs. What do your lenses look like for the last time for the season?
Mine are the iridescent sliced watermelon disco balls. That is representing for Palestine and for Sudan. I have the left leg that is blue and yellow for the Congo, and the right leg that is green and yellow for Tigray. our plug for the season, all power to the people, freedom to all of us, and shout out to all of the student protesters right now. Shout out to Emory University right now. Yes. Shout out to the UC schools, Columbia, boy, the schools in Chicago. We from see the river you guys.
To the sea, Palestine will be free, and baby,
and if it was up to me,
free too.
Look, baby, everybody. So we see you. We love you, and we're gonna get into the episode.
Yeah. So synopsis, because it's been a minute since we did it.
It's been a minute.
A pair of business rivals discover that they're identical twins and decide to swap places in an attempt to trick their divorced parents to get back together.
So, of course, I looked at that post, doing research. And I said, because in the middle of doing the review, like watching the movie or whatever, I was like, it's a parent trap. I love you. Deep down bad. I said, these gays took their favorite movie and said, I'm about to pervert it.
The way, okay, what are your tips?
Okay.
I can't wait to discuss this movie.
So categories, I have brave, exclamation point, my LOL. I have ism jokes, like it's an ism.
Yeah.
Girl, what? With a question mark. And then, I mean, honestly, I fuck with it.
Okay.
What are your categories?
So two of my categories are memes. So one of the memes is that Megan Thee Stallion meme where she's like suspiciously looking at something and it zooms in on her eye.
Okay.
Yeah. One is I'm done, which was like, I'm ready to close this out and not watch this.
Oh my
God. I have
God.
That's so gay. I have, oh my fuck, they're singing. my other meme is the Drewski hands up meme. Like, okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's pretty. And then I have pearls are clutched and a LOL.
Okay. So this movie, of course, is an A24 movie, but they also were joined by Sharnan Entertainment. This had an $8 million budget.
Damn, on what, babes?
The fuck?
What did you use it on?
I'm not completely sure if they filmed on like in New York, but it looked like they were on set to me, like different set locations.
It definitely did.
So it has to be that they had a star-studded cast. They had Dad Harris, Nathan Lane, Mom Evelyn, Megan Mullally. I don't know how to say her name. I'm sorry. Let me see. Okay, but who else we got, Keeks?
Bowen Yang, and then I just have the directors.
But we have Megan Thee Stallion in her acting debut.
Yeah, which I was like, because she's a big name star, but she had a small role. I didn't include her.
I am absolutely thinking that part of that budget was all about getting people paid. We had Nick Offerman, He was real short at the end. He's from Parks and Recreations. We have Sonia Eddy. Sonia Eddy is the black woman who was at the front of the studio talking. And her face, Sonia Eddy, we know her from General Hospital. I fucking love that lady. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, but she's awesome. Like, she's everywhere. There was a bunch of appearances, but I'm convinced that it had to have been special effects or like the things that like the fucking sewer boys that had to cost a lot of money.
Man, I can't wait to talk about this.
Let's talk about it.
And honestly, Josh Sharp and Aaron Jackson had no information on them, could not find a thing.
Nothing. They do not have Wikipedias. Bitch, we've interviewed people that have Wikipedias.
Like, what do you mean? Which makes me think, like, I just, I'm like, how did you get this? What is your rating? That's what I'm wanting to know.
I gave
your
this
face.
Movie initially, I gave it a 3.75. And then when it went into the outtakes, I raised it to a 4.125 because the outtakes.
The bloopers,
they kind of, some of the things that made me absolutely uncomfortable to see that it also made the actors uncomfortable was, I don't know, it did something for me. What is your ranking?
I originally started with a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
That went
to land on.
The movie was over with.
A 3 out of 10, babe, don't play. You said, oh my they God. Were,
this was bothering. This was so bothering. Like, I think my Megan Thee Stallion meme was the isms for you, maybe. It was just, probably. It was very, some of the jokes were drawn out. Like, even from the beginning cue card, I was like, why did you need 3? You could have just stick with that one, and that would have been fine.
Be,
I was like,
it was to be extra gay, extra dramatic, which is why I said brave. That was kind of the acknowledgement that, oh, right. You gays are trying brave.
And when I tell you, it was, this felt like a, I was going to say a parody, but then I had to look up what a parody was, and I was like, no, it's not a parody. It felt like a, because I felt like it was a parody of a white straight man,
but like
with
a spoof or something, like,
yeah,
like it felt fake,
but it was still very white gay. It just felt like a movie for white gays. That's what it felt like, because the misogyny was still in there. That was so weird. It was just, it's certain instances, like, why did the mom have to be in a wheelchair and also be quirky, but also has to, like, show her vagina to her son? It was really...
Why did her vagina have to come out at us like fucking it was under the sea? Oh, my God.
The co-opting black, the co-opting AAVE, the stealing from the black newspaper man. You thought I didn't catch that shit? Racist. Preferring a lace front. It was a lot.
Catch it. Listen, there was multiple times, like, God being an Asian gay was very much, Bowen Yang is one of the people I do have.
Yes, I do have
well. Bowen Yang does have information. Bowen Yang is an American actor, comedian, and writer, and was hired to be on the writing staff of Saturday Night Live as of September 2018, making him the first Chinese American, the third openly gay male, and the fourth ever cast member of Asian descent in 2018.
That's too late. Just saying, I hate the first anything in a 20-something, no. But so, he was the first NSL featured player to be nominated for a Primetime Emmy Award. I thought that was cool. I was like, oh.
Not to Bowen Yang, but like I said, I do think a lot of that $8 million budget went towards paying people. Mom is Megan Mullally. I don't know how to say her name, but you know her best as Karen Walker from Will and Goddamn Grace. And when she popped up on the screen, I said, like that fucking Leonardo DiCaprio meme, Will and Grace.
Because, man, my girl, 8 Primetime Emmy nominations, 7 SAG Award nominations. She won 3 times, 4 Golden Globe nominations. She be working. She be working.
Works, okay? Yeah. The girl works. And her husband is Nick Offerman. I think it's funny as shit. I think it's funny as shit that her, just like, what's the lady who played in The Little Mermaid? She played, Melissa McCarthy. She pulled her husband everywhere, too. So I can't, like, that shit is funny.
We all gonna eat.
And I'm not gonna be separated from my man. The fuck? She said, nah, try somebody else. That was cool as shit to me. And then we also had, like I said, the dad who is named Harris, Nathan Lane. I love Nathan Lane. He's been active as an American actor since 1975. My man's is awarded up. 3 yeah. Tony Awards, 6 Drama Desk Awards, 2 Obie Awards, the Olivier Award, 3 Emmy Awards, and a Screen Actor Guild. He had, because it is, it's, that's how it's spelled. It's okay. O-L-I-V-I-E-R.
Olivier.
Olivier.
Keep going. I loved it.
I'm sorry, I meant to mute it. I'm sorry. He made his professional theater debut in an off-Broadway production of A Midsummer Night Dream. Don't play with that man. But I love him. I love him. And as soon as he came on the screen again, Leonardo DiCaprio meme, I should have had a meme where I was just pointing at the fucking
right. Like, I knew you.
Because I was like, the birdcage! That, I know that man. I love him. But when, and I was happy to see that Megan Thee Stallion wasn't put off as like a late or something. They didn't wait for her to be 45 minutes in. She did have multiple appearances in the movie. Mm-hmm. Megan Thee Stallion, 29-year-old American rapper, originally from Houston, Texas. Interesting enough,
the hot girl coach.
That's it. The creator of "You Bitches Needing a Goddamn Season" to claim back. Listen,
man, I'm still really girl summer. And the fact that Drake didn't get his just desserts until Kendrick Lamar came, that bit pissed me.
Oh, that's
off.
Okay, because like I said, I have friends who listen to music, and Pusha T gave him his
definitely
all
of- did.
like this nigga shot
ruined his career.
Boy,
we wouldn't even have this problem.
He named the album "Surgical Summer." My boy came for his slice, but you know what? Drake understood, being that he is not only just a rapper, he's probably business minded. He understood that people who listen for lyricism listen to Pusha T, and them niggas could scream at the wind. Honestly, because some of them are very hotepy, some of them are very misogynistic, but like they could scream at the wind. As soon as you have a woman rapper that spits saying, "Bitch, you suck," now you have women who just want to be like, at least, and appreciate lyricism, being like, "What she say? Let me research." Now you got all kind of people on your neck.
And I appreciate it. Get that white man out of here.
That's it. Get that white man out of here. What Pusha T say? He shouldn't have came for me. They said, "Don't you think you took it too far?" He said, "You don't. That's why you don't play with me. Because ain't no too far with me." And he said, "I'm literally going to post that video." That nigga said, "And if anybody called me and said you took it too far, I blocked them. Because bitch, don't play with me." He played with me first. And this is why you don't come for me. Right. Listen. So it's interesting because right now, you know, she's going through a lawsuit situation right now too. Yeah. And her being the boss in this movie and being a boss in her real life. Very interesting. But she was in this movie. I did see a clip of a video podcast that the costume designer said that she made that yellow suit for Megan specifically for her body, type, took her measurements and things like that, but she hadn't had the time to try it on her before they went to shoot. Megan did not know that she was going to be shooting in that outfit until they started shooting. That shout out to the costume designer, because that motherfucker didn't split break. She was busting and doing moves in that. It was very awesome for that.
That was nice.
And I think budget also went to costume.
Oh, definitely. God's what outfit, else? The content wasn't there. The plot wasn't there. It had to go to the visuals, babe.
Because I know for a fact they were just, "Whose line is it anyways?" Most of this goddamn movie. And most of those, some of the lines were funny. They did draw jokes
and see,
on.
That was my Drewski. I was like, okay, I can't fucking... God is a gay Asian man. Okay. The way I was shocked every time they opened their mouth to fucking sing, because my mind was like, oh shit, this is a musical. Even though it's in the title, I was like, oh, I don't, y'all singing it at unexpected times.
You know what I love to do? I guessed the names. And yes. Now we're about to look them up. Let me see. How will I find it? Okay.
Did you see that they said that everyone everywhere comes at once for the movie theater?
Caught it, and I loved it. Because give it to yourself. I did peep that it was because this is a musical theater something. I was like, oh, are those movie posters? No, they're musical theater posters. So it gives me something to look into, like, what are they spoofing off of? Because maybe I don't know them as, know the original to have caught it. But I did catch that.
They had some affirmations. "I'm the best, so fucking blessed, sexy, smart, it's just not fair." I was like, yes, I'm gonna say that in my mirror.
I promise you.
I'm like, okay, you had some good parts, but the way my LOL didn't outdo like my little side-eye meme, I was like, this is...
I actually, my what would be my side-eye meme is actually tied with it. But you know me.
Really?
I'm kind of twisted.
It's my thing, too. Like, I think I'm just funny. I don't think it was really that funny. I think I'm just hilarious.
I'm hilarious. Look. But I also am dry white humor. I can get into. Like, some people do not like dry wines. I'm not a dry wine fan. I don't like how it grips me by the back of my throat. Some dry white humor I can get into. I found the funny where maybe funny was only, like, sprinkled and not poured.
Right, because I didn't think Trevor, I thought it hilarious because Trevor was funny in the fact that his mannerisms were so gay. Like, what
and
the fuck?
Trevor is played by Aaron Jackson. Mind you, these are both gay males. So I think the Brave was when they were obviously gay. That shit was funny. But then also it just made a turn. The end, I was absolutely disgusted. My mouth, it was open. I could have caught flies.
Too much. Like, I think the spitting in I'm done category. I was honestly done the very first time he spit toothpaste on that mirror. It bothered me. I was like, oh my God, can I close this? But then I was like, okay, no. And then I'm sitting there watching still, and I'm like,
and they
okay.
kept spitting. And I don't it know was, what it is about our version of NeuroSpicy, but me and you had that same, the spit. Stop sending things out of your mouth. Stop sending. Mm-hmm. I was like, huh. Huh, it was a lot for me.
Sewer board at that shit.
I was overstimulated visually. I felt like I could feel it landing on me. It was fucking with me. But then, and that's why it went from a 3 to a 4.125, because at the end, when I saw that Nathan Lane said, I have done and been in some very interesting.
Look, when I saw that shit, I said, they must be paying you a lot.
Grateful. I was grateful that he was also uncomfortable.
And I was like, just spit it in his mouth. Like,
he said, you want me to what?
Is it anyway? Some, you were right. That's no. You could have got
it. Ad-libbed. We're going to improv. That's fine. But $8 million. Who the fuck gave you $8 million to make this shit for you to improv most of it? They had a script. Most of it felt improv.
And I didn't like the way the sewer boys communicated in whistles and clicks.
That is real languages.
Like, that's what I said. I said, bitch, what are you trying to say? And when we automatically, towards the end, went to incest, pearls are clutched. Like, what the fuck?
When I was like, yo, the fact that Nathan Lane, who is Harris, his name is Harris in the movie, the fact that he was like, oh yeah, I went down there, saw him, liked him, I tried to get him to come with me willingly, then I just colonized, took they ass, fucked they family. Bitch. And I thought that it was interesting that at the end when he got down there and he saw somebody else trying to kill their entire family, he was like, let me help them out. Maybe that's them trying to be like, boop. The fuck? And you ain't low. Definitely caught, definitely seen you. And I was just like, this is a lot. Like, what the fuck are y'all on? This was gross. But are you ready? Yeah. I have the track listing pulled up. I caught 10 songs. Keeks, this motherfucker has 25 songs.
Are you sure that's not the off-Broadway? Because it was an off-Broadway thing before it was a movie. I don't remember 20 songs in this fucking thing.
Okay, we're going to get into it. Okay, so I have song number one is on top, but they have that as song number two because they have the overture as number one. So maybe this is the theatres. So I have it as on top, and the song is actually called I'll Always Be On Top. Boom. Song number two, No One Understands.
That song pissed me off because the way it is just my mind. And I was like, oh, okay, you're rhyming. This is a song. Songs rhyme. Why the fuck would you be like, nobody understand? It was so bothering because, like, you were supposed to end with me. I mean, you, not me. It was fucking bothering. Oh my God.
So it was annoying as fuck. Me and you have also talked about, like, we could probably write a musical. This made me feel like we could write a musical. So,
but, I mean, we probably wouldn't get $8 million for it because we're not white.
We're about to put it out there. We're going to put an email that has white gays as the picture.
Oh my God. Can that be the name of the musical?
What? Give me the name. What?
White gays.
Let's do it.
Because maybe that'll trick them to give us more money.
I love it. Okay, so then I have song number three, and I called it My Life is Great. I was very confused with it, but they have song number four is Tea with Mommy. Then we have Evelyn's song, so Mom and Dad's song. So Evelyn's song and Mimosas with Daddy. I called it song number four, and I thought they were a combo song. So I called it Gay Old Life Being Queer Lesbian. Gay Old Life Being Queer Lesbian. I mean, being queer shut in. I'm sorry. Gay Old Life Being Queer Shut In, because they're both shut ins and both queer.
Right.
It's actually called Mimosas with Daddy, Gay Old Life. Then we have song number 5, You Can't Give Up, which is song number 8, You Can't Give Up. Song number 6, I have I'm Lonely in between there. They have their song number 9, An Invitation, so I do think this is theater. So their song number 10 is Lonely. Then we have song number 7 for me is I have Out Alpha the Alpha, but in between there, they have Vroomba. So I guess there's a music that goes along with the introduction to the company.
Vroomba, that shit was hilarious. Why is that so low?
Vroomba, that shit was funny. That shit was so
funny. Oh my God.
Out Alpha the Alpha, I liked it.
Yes, that was nice. I like the mannerisms. So I feel like Megan, not the stallion, but she was a part of it, but Megan, I'm so sorry. Sorry, Miss Famous Will and Grace, ma'am.
Mary.
But I feel like the mom really carried this. And she maybe Craig really carried the movie because, I don't know, Craig to me was just so funny. I don't know, the cut out of the family's head, of his head on the family portrait. The way he was like,
I have a real family.
What did you think this said? Toys like this?
How did you think that?
I think he was real funny. But also, the mom was actually really funny. Like, the way she tricked me, she was like, I made my own set. I was like, oh, really? How you do that? Out of set. I was like, God damn it. So she was hilarious. And I feel like mainly her, though, she and a little bit of Craig carried this fucking movie for me.
Absolutely. I think that I think that Megan Mullally and Nathan Lane, I love them. Megan Mullally, like you said, she did vocally carry this. She actually is an American actress, singer, and comedian. She yes. made her Broadway debut as Marty in the 1994 revival of Grease. She is acclaimed. She can do this thing. You know what I'm saying? This is what she does. Right. And I think that her decision in speech, because she was 93.
Which I'm like, how? But okay.
I don't know if that was like, was it supposed to be the denture slip?
That's not her real voice?
No.
Oh, I've never watched Will and Grace a day in my life, babe.
Will and Grace, she has this very high-pitched voice, which we know is not her voice. And I wonder if, because she did that from 1998 to 2006, and then they did the revival from 2017 to 2020. I wonder if speaking in that voice affected her vocal cords, because it was so high pitched and nasally that she, maybe being trained, she was able to control it where it was not throat and it was nasal, so it was back here right. and not down there. But like the voice that she used could be close to her natural speaking voice, but there was definitely some speech patterns and you know, which
her singing voice is phenomenal, I feel like, but her speaking voice annoys me. It's a scary thing. But her lung capacity, girl.
Did that. And I'm also wondering, because ever since Us came out and they said Lupita Nyong'o did research on how to play her character for The Tether, and she referenced some things and then she got called out because it turns out there was actual condition. I wondered Megan Mullally's choice in accent or like speech or whatever, if it was an impediment, if there was something that we should be side-eyeing, or if it was just the choice to depict elderly, because she was 92, 93.
So
I don't know. So we have though. Yeah, because she was singing her little ass off. Out Alpha the Alpha, I have my song number 8 is the Family Sewer song. They have La Chateau, blah blah blah. This is when they get into Desperate for Your Love. I skipped it. That was Desperate for Your Love. I don't have a name for that though. Then we have the Family Sewer song, In the Suite, but they have This Is Stupid, the No One Understands reprise. So some of these are repeats. Why Won't You Work? I don't have anything in reference for that. They have the Kidnap song. I don't know about that. Evelyn's song comes back. Then they get to the Sewer song. That's their song number 20. So this has to be theater.
My thing is that because in my on my fuck they're singing, I honestly thought that God would have us. I thought Bowen Yang would be singing too.
He gets there towards the end, and maybe, but it's maybe you assume that he would be a gay Asian theater geek.
And that's my thing. Like, I thought everybody had their own individual song, even if it was a duet. Like, I wanted to hear his voice.
He talks.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Maybe that's why.
And so. From the research, I didn't see him as a theater babe.
Aww.
Yeah, he wasn't. So that's
avenue you miss, babe. Anyway.
But they have Love in All Forms, which is God's talk song. And I thought it was one song, but they have his talk song and then All Love is Love, which is everybody. And I have that as the last song. Them screaming out that people couldn't say faggot was hilarious to me. Yep. And then putting it in red. I was like, why is faggot in red? What's going on? What are you insinuating?
God officiating the wedding was hilarious to me because the Bible has a lot of interbreeding. And I said, wow.
And the fact that God came back and was, and people were like, this is disgusting. Like, the Bible is not full, fucking stacked full of interbreeding. Y'all be fucking family members all up and through that book. What are you talking about?
My thing, though, is like,
to see or to think of or imagine in real time. But that, I think that was part of the ism. It was the point at it. How dare you say that you follow the religion to a T, this book to a T, and not recognize that it says you could fuck whoever. You know what I'm saying? That's,
oh, okay.
There's gross stuff in there.
Because I was like, why the fuck did you go the incest route? But yeah, I could see why they would do that to gay men. It, okay.
Come on now, because it literally said it's an ism. They was pointing fun at the isms, and they took it way far.
The way, that's not even a believable couple, though. I mean, maybe.
Maybe they are just friends. Maybe they are a couple. I don't know. But I definitely felt like, no, I was so excited when they showed wheelchair user sex and the variety of position and fun that could be had. Yeah. When they started having sex and it was some of them same positions, I was disgusted.
It was boring. It was boring.
It was boring with these little twiggy white bodies, maybe, but it was also like, yes, you have set it up for me to think of you guys as brothers. And so this is very disturbing for me. I knew as soon as the scene cut and they were laying in bed together that that's what it was going to be. I knew it.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, this, like I said, this is a movie for white gay men, and I'm not.
And they
may be gay. There's two different worlds, babe.
Two different worlds, and we know that. We know.
And I've tried to, like, I tried to look it up and be like, okay, how do people really feel about this? And people were like, oh, it's so camp. It's so, I'm like,
it is. Once I understood what people really meant by camp, because, you know,
maybe I don't understand the difference. Look, that's what I'm missing, because I'm like, I don't understand.
My understanding of camp is taking something, the idea of something, and if it was at level zero, you take it to level 391 out of a scale of 100. Take it there.
My thing is, I don't know, maybe it's not good camp. Maybe it wasn't.
We also know that white gays are not the most creative of the Skittle crew.
Because I was like, also, that's a Black LGBT.
Come on now.
Word. So
what's your favorite color Skittle out the group, out the bag, or what's your of the bag?
I'm a nigga. Of course it's purple. I love it.
Listen, I like the blue pack Skittles, and I like most of them bitches in there, right? But there's one in there that's like lime green or something.
I think all the green ones. They don't.
I take it all the eat, right? I don't like it. Them niggas is the green Skittle of the blue bag. When it comes to the Skittle family, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like if we did try to make or write a musical, which we probably actually should touch our toe into it.
Look, we are
right. And we have enough access to not only people who go, but actual theater people who could be like, who could help us along the way. If we decided to do this, would we get the same $8 million belief and support that they did with this bullshit?
We've had that conversation. So,
yeah. You ready for how much they made in revenue?
How much?
$1.5 million. Now.
Wow. You didn't even. One.
That's not even 18? One person's salary. That is probably not even Megan Mullally's salary. She's like, pay me first, bitch. Give me, make sure you my shit clear.
Negative 6.5.
Now, this is my thing. I do know because 2023, there was a slow return going back to theaters. This was released in theaters, but I heard via social media or somebody that they are clipping how much time that they allow movies to be released in actual theater because they know that they can stream it and people are streaming, right? So there's a lack of sales and revenue to be counted because it's not in box office as long as it used to be. Now, if first week box office sales are not hitting and they decide, bitch, cut your time, maybe that happened, but you can make it so that you're in less theaters so that you can still be around the country and try to get revenue. There's ways to go around that. I don't know what affected them, if not maybe that, because I would have thought that the hype around Megan Thee Stallion being in this at all would have been enough to draw attention to. And it probably was just
Megan Thee Stallion, because that's the only reason why, because we changed this movie. This was not the original ending movie for the season. We added it because of Megan Thee Stallion.
When we heard that this was going to be a thing, because we set up the movies for this season, I want to say, I don't know, last year sometime? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, last year? We had this pretty much set up. We did some moving around. When we figured out that there was going to be a movie under A24 that was going to feature Megan Thee Stallion, we added it in and we still had seasons to go, right? We get here. It's available on streaming now. We don't even have to go to the theater to see it. Even more up our alley because that's how we like to watch movies and review them. How much money will they get from this now? I don't know. How much
And that's my thing too. Like, that sounds like a production issue. You probably should. I don't know who's making these decisions, but you probably shouldn't be releasing anything in theaters right now. I know everybody's trying to go back to normal, but I've gotten comfortable with streaming from my home, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. And you would get more eyes, more views, more whatever if you go to you can stream it from a specific website. Because baby, I find it.
I'm telling you, and at this point, I'm subscribed and paying to so many things that at this point, if I don't have access to it, somebody will, and I'll get to it, and you'll still have and be able to count the actual stream. Not even, you know what I'm saying? You'll be able to count it and count your income in other ways. That's why it's interesting when they're like comparing things now, like, oh, this artist has this many, whatever, whatever. Baby, the old artist, and then you're trying to say, oh, this Drake. Let's talk about Drake, bitch ass. Just, oh, this person knocking out the Beatles and this nigga getting tattoos because he's chasing up on people. This is different comparisons. This is streams, and these people were buying this on wax. They were going to records and having them print them more every time. You don't have that type of popularity. Bitches want to stream your shit just to see what you said. And I will forget that I ever streamed you, ho.
And that's the thing, because the thing that comes to mind is the Usher versus Chris Brown argument. Usher was selling albums when streaming wasn't a thing, and he went platinum.
And we had to go to the place and get the record.
Like, what are y'all talking about? So, I don't know. It's
different. The goalpost is moving, but I think that needs to be considered when people start talking about what records they're beating or having conversations about competition that should not exist. Because the conversation about Usher and Chris Brown should not exist, in my opinion.
At all. Another thing about this movie is that there was not a lot of word of mouth. The most I heard was Megan Thee Stallion was in it. That's all I heard.
And most of that I heard from Twitter. I don't know if it's because of streaming that there's not commercials that I'm seeing, or if it's because we are watching our movies from home that we're missing out on. But
Twitter let us know about Everything Everywhere All at Once. And when I did not watch that movie, but when it came out, everybody and their mama was talking about that movie. Mm-hmm. I said, I gotta go see this movie because the timeline is
ablaze. Only about that.
This movie came out, I heard nothing. Nothing at all.
It's still crickets. IMDb gave this a 5.4 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave this a 67%. And I really think that's being fucking gracious because they're trying to say that the camp is... It's campy.
The white gays love it.
Because white gays, again, and we know not your target audience, but also grow the fuck up. Like,
that's
this
my
is
thing. Like, y'all are this not wasn't creative. Money, like, to be for real, this is a recession. Everybody
and y'all are flushing money down the drain. That's what it seems like. What?
Because you don't want to connect to a wider audience. It seems
to lean on white gaze because you don't want to connect with a wider audience, and to bank on the fact that Megan Thee Stallion would bring people in to watch this bullshit is why it flopped the way it fucking did.
Because honestly, even because Megan Thee Stallion, I'm not going to watch this a second time.
I will never watch this again.
And I love Megan Thee Stallion, but I'm not going to watch this a second time.
I'm grateful that it gave her her debut. I appreciate that they had actual lines for her to use. I appreciate that she got the experience of seeing what it's like to be on set. I will never watch this again.
Yeah.
I have no interest.
Once was enough.
Our ranking of this, because of my raggedy ass numbers, is a 3.5625 out of 10. And we can go ahead and say that that's a 3.6. We can round it up to a 3.6 out of 10. I think that that's on par with what's going on. IMDb is, like I said, 5.4 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, you niggas don't know what you're talking about. We need to be hired on all the highest of keys.
Yeah, because I even went on Reddit and I was like, because they have like specific things for like movies, like subreddits. And I'm like, yes. What is this hidden? And everybody's like, oh my God, I loved it. And I'm like,
but I've also decided that Reddit, part of the reason, people were very innovative during recessions. I figured out listening to something else that during previous recessions, things like Uber Eats came up, or Ubers or ride shares, things like that. I figured out that part of the reason that I don't fuck with a lot of new things is because new things, for some reason, when you get into them, do you remember there was some other like college chat thing that they had?
I know the icon. It's like a blue square that looks like a messenger with a hashtag in the middle.
Yes.
That one, I can't remember the name, but I actually used that when I was in college.
I used to use it when we were in school. So you remember that time. And do you remember when it was brand new, it was trying to take off, there were so many racists on there. What I've noticed is that with new tech developments in this time, there are a lot of racists that will be there first. I don't know what the fuck it is with people in the tech world and who they associate with, who tries to, you know, them trying to get this and try their items out on things. Why is everybody racist in your corner? Because all of the new shit is racist. Reddit, I just got into, and Reddit has been around. Alexis Ohanian put that bitch out years ago. I just got into it as well. Because that's where people were going and crossing the line. The people who were going into finding out, like, horse tranquilizer, they were getting it from Reddit channels and shit. Now they've calmed down.
Like, I'm in the cats Reddit groups. Like, that's mainly what
I'm now they've diversified away in a way where I can kind of filter through. But like before, when it's an early invention, there's a whole lot of racists that'll be associated with you trying to get some shit off of the ground. So it was interesting.
Don't mind being associated with that. Like, we got the problem with X right now, where they completely,
you're trying to change some shit up, and
like, and mind you, Twitter is still very much a reliable source for information. It's just you gotta get the races and the massage, all of them are out. And honestly,
you have to filter through so much. And when I tell you, I literally had my personal account blocked for 24 hours for suggesting that somebody should have their ass beat for throwing a box. It was a delivery person who threw the box at the person's door and then stomped on it. And I was like, damn, what did he do to the box? The box should beat his ass.
Yeah.
You censored my account for 24 hours because I said a box should be okay. But when I told somebody that she looked like her mama swallowed her daddy's nut and then fished it out of her boo-boo to impregnate herself, I didn't get censored for that. What?
Oh my God, you didn't know.
It was wild. Y'all are crazy. I need you to understand. Oh my God. So, okay. So what were the ticks for your category?
Let me pull it up. Oh my God. Okay. That side eye meme had 26. The I'm done had 13. That's so gay had 6. Oh my fuck, they're singing had 9. The Drewski meme had 8. Pearls are clutched had 8. And LOL had 15.
Okay.
Which are, mean. What was your tick, Lord?
Brave! ! Had 7. My LOL had 10. The ism jokes had 9, and I separated them. That is separate. Girl, what had 10? Because disturbed. And then, I mean, honestly, I fuck with it. Had 6.
Yeah, that's comparable to my Drewski.
I was with it. So that was interesting. I'm grateful that we ended here because we're motivated.
Yeah, I'm excited for the pickies now, because honestly, I've got a tie for the school award. I have things
to change. I have opinions. I need to remember. It's so interesting that every once in a while, I will watch something and forget that we did this to, you remember when we thought that our slogan was going to be reviewing your shitty movies. You remember when we thought that?
Yes, oh my God.
And we were like, oh, that's too mean. We can't come out. I have to remember that that's who we are at our hearts.
I mean, also,
we're not picking
movies. Like,
we're not picking shitty movies. We're picking movies. They happen to be shitty.
Like, sorry, but that's a fact.
So I need to remember, which is why I absolutely was like, I gave this a 3D outtake, saved it for me. Bring back bloopers and outtakes at the end of movies. I love them shits.
They were funny, but not enough to save this movie.
It only saved my discomfort. It didn't save the movie. You're right. It saved the visceral nausea that I had felt was saved by the fact that, oh shit, you niggas was uncomfortable too. Bless. Not the main, not Aaron Jackson or Josh Sharp, but everybody else.
Did we talk about the director, Larry Charles? Ooh, because Larry Charles. Why did you write this? Comedian, screenwriter, director, actor, and producer. He wrote for the Arsenio Hall Show eventually became a staff writer for Seinfeld. His directorial debut for the TV series was Curb Your Enthusiasm, but his film directorial debut was Mass and Anonymous in 2003. So,
but you also know him for Borat, which on a budget of $18 million pulled in $261 million. This is why they thought this man, and he didn't write, he directed it, right? The writers are Aaron Jackson and Josh Sharp. They did write this.
Oh, that's why. That's
so at that intro, when they had that like three part, one of the things that they said was that these gay boys wrote this and now they're going to act in it themselves, which is brave because they're going to be playing straight men, which is brave. And remember that they stepped out on the line because they didn't do much writing in musical theater comedy beforehand, and this is brave. So like that was the thing. But Larry Charles, as far as being able to give you directorially something that would push the line, push the boundaries, make people uncomfortable, be memorable, he's done that. He did Borat in 2006. He did Religious in 2008. He did Bruno in 2009. He did The Dictator in 2012. I don't know what Army of One is, but Dick's the musical. He does movies that are going to make you uncomfortable, and I promise you, you're going to remember him. If not his name, his movie, his content.
Right.
So if that's the intent that he had, man does it, and he plays to win. So I'm not a fan of it, but I see what he does.
I see what you do, and I respect it, I guess.
I think it's also interesting to note that he's a Brooklyn Jew from Coney Island. So you already know how he get down.
Right, that also.
He's very, you know what I'm saying? He's going to be one of the more like, you know.
Yeah,
he's going to have his energy.
It's a unique humor, yeah.
Yeah, so. And some of the writing that he did for Curb Your Enthusiasm, because there's a bunch of writers and directors on the show, right? So when I looked into it, his specific episodes are the ones that have the darker humor. He likes to go there.
Yeah.
So I think this was interesting, but not in a way that I would ever do it again. Thank you for introducing me to Bowen Yang, I guess.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see and look out for what he does.
Yeah. I'm with it. But other than that, good on the rest. Gratefully, we are out of this season. We are going to record our pickies, and then we were going to take not too long of a break because with all of the transitions, our episodes have gotten long. Our seasons have gotten long because of pauses, breaks, whatever, but our seasons have gotten better because the content itself is shorter, so we can give you better better versions of us. And we found our groove. And we've also found the platform to use from now on. So,
yes.
Season 7 after the picky's going to be lit in a motherfucker. And
very excited.
Big Bat busting up the Bentley. That's it. You got anything else?
I think that's it. Yeah, we'll see you soon with the pickies and then on to season 7.
Lucky number seven. This is us. Love you, babe.
Love you. Bye.
Out this thing. I'm going to push stop.